We start hour number two. Welcome to the program. I'm Jim Rome. Had a really good first hour. I talked about the first of the two games last night at the top of the program. We had Carson Palmer on, who I thought was excellent as always, especially as it relates to Antonio Brown. He said, I do not like that fit at all. I don't like the fit with Antonio Brown and the Pats offense. And he laid it out perfectly. Do you agree or not agree with that? I don't think he said anything that didn't make a lot of sense. I'm not saying it won't work. I'm saying that if it doesn't work, I would not be surprised. And that if it doesn't work, that would be why it doesn't work. But then that said, if I'm the Pats, why not? Take a shot. Why not do it? And this whole thing about, yeah, what always works? It doesn't always work. The Patriots have done this before, and it has worked. It worked with Corey Dillon. It worked with Randy Moss. But even though there were some question marks about those guys coming in, I would say the question marks about them were nothing like the questions that we all have about Antonio Brown right now. Different time, different guys. And no, it doesn't always work. In fact, a lot of times it hasn't worked. It just doesn't really matter that much if it doesn't work because they don't really invest that much. And if it doesn't work with Antonio Brown, they just get him the hell out of there. How good did they look in the opener against Pittsburgh without Antonio Brown? So if it doesn't work and they break him off, who cares? It's just Bob Kraft walk-around money. Doesn't matter. Coming up later on this hour, Will Brinson. Coming up next hour, Casey Hayward. Coming up next segment, maybe even this segment, your telephone calls, if they're good enough. And this email. Dear Jim, we fought hard for victory against the Broncos. My teammates said I was the most valuable player of the game. All I know is I took many hard hits, and although I was very tired, I could not let my buddies in the trenches down. Today is our recovery day, but it's right back to the grindstone, Wednesday, in preparation for our next brutal game. Exhaustedly yours, Raider Mike in the Black Hole. Den Lesk's non-battery chucker. War ESPN ditching their yellow down and distance graphic mid-game, being the biggest head fake since Renee Zellweger. Social media is amazing, isn't it? ESPN was getting annihilated for that. Annihilated for that on Twitter, and the next thing you know, it's just gone? How does that work? Actually, flawlessly, that's how that works. How long before that happens to an announcer? That they're just burying somebody, and then they're not even there for the second half. At some point, I'm sure. Yeah, hey, Vance Mack, how about you? Yeah, maybe. Except that would have happened probably 10 years ago. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so I mentioned the first game. And then you had your second game. Normally, I would say more football is good. Normally, I would say a second Monday night game is even better. Normally. Except not last night. Has there ever been a worse transition than going from the epic high of that final minute in New Orleans to Joe Flacco handing the ball to a tight end on a running play and throwing dump-off passes on a baseball field? What an amazing buzzkill. The ultimate record scratch. Is there a bigger cooler in the NFL than Flacco?
Hey!
Hey! I mean, what about this guy? I thought that Flacco was supposed to be the perfect fit for that offense. That John Elway had finally solved his quarterback problem. That Flacco was going to turn back the clock. Hey! None of that happened. Because
Thank you, Joe Flacco.
He's still Joe Flacco. And as I tweeted last night, Joe Flacco, still not elite. Yeah, I know, it's only one game. It's only one game, but Lamar Jackson is tearing it up right now.
Jackson?
Joe Flacco picked up right where he left off right now. You see that last night, and you see Lamar Jackson on Sunday. And again, I know that he did it against a team that barely is in the NFL. I don't really care. You see what Lamar Jackson did Sunday, and you have to think, was there even an actual quarterback battle? How'd that happen? Flacco and Jackson. But that wasn't all about Joe Flacco, because the Broncos were not only lousy under center, they were lousy in all phases of the game. I thought that defense was supposed to go off with the arrival of Vic Fangio. That defense was getting gashed. Von Miller and Bradley Chubb not only did not have a sack, they weren't even credited with a hit. The Raider offensive line bullied them. Speaking of the Raiders, Alvin, may I have some autumn wind? And another thing.
And you know,
it's time to give the Raiders a little bit of love. It's time to give them a little love because they earned it. That was an impressive performance from that crew. They had one of the most chaotic off seasons you could ever imagine. The kind of mess that you couldn't actually create even if you tried. And nobody looked worse as a result of that mess than Chunk Gruden. But as I did say on this show yesterday, if John Gruden wants to change the narrative, if Gruden wants to change the subject from how horrible he looked over the Antonio Brown situation, he better win. And he did last night. And don't let the scoreboard fool you. It said 24-16, but that game was never that close. Never that close. The Raiders went right down the field on their first drive, and they never looked back the rest of the game. That was actually one of their better performances in years. It looked like Antonio Brown leaving was the best thing that ever happened to them. In fact, seeing that, why didn't they dump him earlier? Because they were galvanized and getting after it on both sides of the ball. And so was the black hole. So was the crowd, which was chanting, bleep AB, bleep AB, throughout the entire game. So perfect. So on brand. So black hole. So Oakland Raiders. And I have to admit, so funny. Derek Carr didn't look like he missed Brown. Derek Carr was 22 of 26 for 269 yards and a touchdown. That was 2016 Derek Carr. And the defense was swarming and getting after it. Oh, and the crowd? The crowd was still chanting, bleep AB, bleep AB. So the obvious question, are the Raiders really this good? Or are the Broncos really that bad? And does Raider fan really hate AB as much as that? And a reminder, it's only one game. It's only one game, but all that off-season hype about the Broncos went right down the drain. All that talk about that defense and how it was going to dominate. All that talk about Joe Flacco. All of that vanished in a cloud of infield dirt. Speaking of the infield dirt, man, I'm going to miss that so much. I'm going to miss that infield when the Raiders bust out of Oakland. Nothing says September football better than watching somebody get lit up on a crossing route in deep short. I'm not sure I've ever seen anybody, not just in the NFL, but in any walk of life, more miserable than NFLers playing on that infield dirt. And for good reason. I mean, what do I know? I've never played on it. But take it from somebody who has. Justin Forsett. He tweeted last night, quote, "If anyone wants to know what it feels like to fall on that dirt in Oakland Coliseum, go outside right now, sprint as fast as you can in the middle of the street. Once you get to full speed, jump up as high as you can and belly flop on the pavement. Hashtag facts." Yeah, I mean, I see it working, Jay, but I'm still going to miss that infield. If the Raiders want to do this right, they'll bring the infield dirt with them to Vegas. Then they'll dial it up a notch by keeping the bases on the field as well. Then they'll chalk up the lines, and they'll still hold post-game pressers in the A's indoor batting cage. Because, and after the preseason circus that this crew organized, I never thought that I would say this, but last night was special. I mean, it was. Las Vegas is going to have a nicer stadium than Oakland. We know this. Hell, Winnipeg in that 80-yard field had a nicer stadium than Oakland. But if it doesn't have the infield or the bases or the baselines or the batting cages or the black hole, it's not going to be the same. And trust me, it will not be better. Only newer, but not better. If I'm Mark Davis, I would immediately cease construction in Las Vegas. I'd roll that minivan right over to P.F. Chang's. I'd post up there. I'd break out my flip phone. I'd schedule my next ginger bowl cut at the barber and start banking W's, because last night was the best that team has looked in years. In years. As for you, Bronco fan, never a good thing when fake Joe Flacco is better entertainment than watching the real Joe Flacco.
Yeah, this is Joe Flacco. I heard Martellus canceled, so I thought I'd give you a call.
Dude, that's absolutely incredible. Joe Flacco, I don't want to get greedy with your time, but as long as I have you on the phone, Joe, this is awesome. What is your biggest concern about matching up with Detroit on Monday night?
Well, it's probably that Sue guy, number 90, I think. If he steps on my head or tries to take my knee out, I mean, that won't be good.
You know, not to be insulting, what jersey number do you wear?
Joe Flacco, number 5.
Okay. What college did you go to?
Delaware, Blue Hens.
Okay. What is your wife's name?
Deborah.
Deborah?
Well, I call her Debbie, but...
Okay, well, really, because the rest of us call her Dana, but whatever. She is your wife. How many sons do you have?
I've got 2 boys.
What are their names?
Joe Jr. and Joe the 3rd.
He almost pulled it off. So if Patrick Mahomes calls the toll-free line today, we'll know it probably is not him. Anyway, that was more entertaining than Joe Flacco, the real Joe Flacco. Raider fan, enjoy this. You earned it. I'm impressed. And this is the way I do this, right? Yeah, I've been hammering away at the Raiders. And yes, they've deserved it. But this has always been the premise of the show. When somebody deserves to get cracked, they will. And when somebody earns praise and respect, they will get that too. And the Raiders earned it last night.
You give them some credit, I mean, for real.
I did, Philip. I did for an entire take. Well, for half the take. Half the take was Denver getting cracked for not living up to their hype.
I will. I'm going to.
And they didn't.
Thank you to John Elway.
Dear Jim.
Hey, John.
Joe Flacco looked sharp last night. Signed Rick Ankiel pitching in the majors. It's not a good take. Ankiel was amazing. This guy was absolutely incredible. To go through what he went through as a pitcher, and then to show up as a positional player, and never mind that the guy could, like, hose a base runner while standing on the warning track and could swing it the way he did. I'm fascinated by him. Rome Jim. Why does the NFL always front-load the Raiders' home games while they have a dirt infield and then schedule primetime games while they have that dirt infield? Is Goodell purposely trying to embarrass the Raiders? Thanks. Drew in West L.A. I don't get the question. Romy, we agree. We love Drizzle's pipe. Regards, the meth heads passing the crack pipe at Drizzle's coffee table while he was making that call. Geoff and Lincoln. All right, so Adam, are you not that bright, or are those the best emails you're getting? Because none of those are good. Are you not that bright, or is that the best you're getting? He goes, both? As a question. Both? Jackson? Yeah, I'm going to say probably you're not that bright. And maybe that's the best you're getting. I'll look for myself. I'm busy hosting right now. All right, still ahead. Will Brinson at 40 past. Casey Hayward next hour. Bobby Petrino making a triumphant return to Arkansas. Can't wait to talk about that. Now, better sleep can benefit basically anybody at all. This is why Casper created Sleptember. Yes, you heard that right, Sleptember. An entire month dedicated to rest and relaxation from outrageously comfortable, award-winning mattresses to pillows, sheets, and duvets, Casper is transforming the way we sleep. The Casper mattress is an award-winning balance of comfort and support. Four layers of premium foam are designed to provide pressure relief for all-night comfort. Zone Support is designed to provide extra support to keep your back aligned. And with bedding, bed frames, and yes, even a dog bed, Casper has everything you need to build the bed of your dreams. And rest easy with free shipping and free returns. Get a Casper like I did. Try yours for 100 nights risk-free. Go to Casper.com. Use the code ROME. Get $100 towards the purchase of select mattresses. Casper.com. Code ROME. Get $100 off. That's towards the purchase of select mattresses. Terms and conditions do apply. See Casper.com/terms.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Dell's semi-annual sale saves businesses up to 45% on computers with Intel Core processors. Just call 877-BUY-DELL, 877-BUY-DELL, or visit dell.com/businessdeals. Can only imagine what Deshaun Watson must have been thinking as he came off that field. He's getting hammered again. Sacked 6 times. Sacked an NFL high 62 times. Already having dealt with an ACL issue. Getting the hell beat out of him. And comes off the field, throws 2 absolute dimes at the end of that game. And puts them in position, gets them all the way down the field, has them in position to win that game, 37 seconds left. And like Carson Palmer said, went to the sideline, took off his helmet, put on a hat, and is thinking to himself, damn, that felt good. That felt great. Monday night, big stage, the entire nation watching, all my peers watching, and like a freaking boss right down the field, even after I took all that punishment. I mean, 2 beautiful passes. Absolute dimes. And this guy's on the sideline. I just got to spin that clock. 37 ticks, we're out of here with a big win. Nope. 37 seconds and a timeout and a defense that's backpedaling like they're looking for a Hail Mary when they didn't need that at all, especially when they had the kicker that they had in Lutz. I mean, the Saints almost to a man were saying after the game, we knew he'd make that kick. We knew he'd make it from 58. We see this guy do it all the time in practice. And sure enough, no-brainer. Easy. Plenty of room to spare. Moral of that story is, you better not leave Drew Brees 37 ticks and a timeout and a kicker like that 60 yards or in. Of course, Deshaun Watson is the ultimate gamer, ultimate leader, and he's not going to point the finger at anybody. And he went with your standard. We win as a team. We lose as a team. Yeah, I don't know about that, Deshaun. I don't know, because you got the hell beat out of you, and then you showed up late and went right down the field with a couple of perfect dimes. And Deshaun said, nope, 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 nope. Win as a team, lose as a team.
It's a team loss, you know, offensively, you know, personally being an offensive leader. You know, we could have did a little more with great teams like this, you know, playing on the road, a great quarterback and Drew Brees. You got to be able to, you know, put the game away.
You thought you had, though, right? You thought you had. I probably should have done a little more. You took them right down the field, like in 13 seconds, and made a couple of impossible throws. That's why this guy's such an amazing leader. And such an amazing player. And I would argue a potentially transcendent guy. A really special guy. A really different guy. We saw it in college. We saw it before the injury. We've seen him come back from that injury. And he's getting hammered. And still getting up every single time and making plays. Getting up, going off the field, going into the blue tent, coming out of the tent, and throwing seeds and dimes. And then afterwards, when it doesn't work out, and it's everybody else's fault but his, he's taking the blame. Guy's a stud. At Cajun and Cheese tweets, I'm already on Team Drizzle for the 2020 Smack-Off. Jim in C-Town. Drizzle's made 3 calls, and he's still 45 minutes short of DA's 2019 Smack-Off call. Ward Doc Boudreau. It's not true. And no, DA's not still going on that call right now. For the last time, DA is a paid professional, an excellent talk show host.
Dr. Boudreau.
He did us a favor by coming in and participating in the Smack-Off. I admire him for it. I'm grateful that he did that. My man had a lot to say. Just ran out of time. It happens. And TFP will lead tweets. Just wait until Rich Flores writes a Smack-Off script for Drizzle. Look the hell out. Speaking of Drizzle, a lot of you said that he self-glossed. He said, that's my name. This guy apparently wants to give him gloss. Matt in L.A. What's up, Matt?
What up, pimp? From Oakland to the O.C. That's California or Florida. From Las Vegas to Laos, you're welcome. The Matt in L.A. montage, the Raider Nation, is all up on CBS Sportsnet with the pimp in the box providing the world the best sports talk entertainment. Hey, Romy, so I got to give props to Drizzle. Dude has some game, but he does sound like he's the love child of Barry White and Groose. So, Drizzle, hey, man, you better take your time. Don't become fizzle, because you might fizzle out before your next call. And when it comes to subject matter, you don't have no business talking about the Raider Nation, my man. A couple weeks ago, you said you were a Cowboys fan. Now, all of a sudden, you're a KC Chiefs fan. I understand you're from Omaha, so we'll give you a pass on all of that. But make up your mind, fam. War Garrett Eisenhower Ritt parachuting into work today from a Blue Angel. War Belly Clarkson using a burrito as a microphone. Outro.
All right, so, quote, fizzle. I think fizzle is from Wichita, not Omaha, Matt. But let's not get in the, it's not like the facts get in the way of a good crackback. You said, I thought a couple of weeks ago you were a Dallas Cowboy fan, but now you're a Chiefs fan? I don't know. I'm not going to speak for, quote, fizzle. We'll see if there's a beef there or not. Why you got to hate, Matt? Why you got to hate? I let you call this show all the time. You can't let a guy, some new blood, come in here and call? He's got a golden ticket. The only golden tickets right now belong to Ariel Helwani and Drizzle. So you're not out that quickly. You've got lots of time, of course. We're not having the Smack Off until the summer. But I thought that we'd have a little more. I thought I would have given away one or two more by then. But it's that time of year. The NFL is back. College football is back. Major League Baseball heading towards the end of the regular season. This is the best time to talk sports. Best time to get a golden ticket. 1-800-636-8686. You got to admit, Matt in L.A. telling somebody not to be a volume shooter is pretty funny. Matt in L.A. calling somebody Drizzle, fizzle, like, yo, man, you better slow your roll or you might be fizzle. You're calling too much, dude. Matt telling somebody else to pump the brakes and not be a volume shooter is pretty funny. All right, when we return, Will Brinson, CBS Sports senior NFL writer, is joining us. Got my assignment from Drew Kaliski, who runs the NFL on CBS. So I'm fired up to make my return to that program on Sunday. I will be in New York for my hit. So I'm working on my takes, getting my thoughts together. They do change midweek. Drew will have a different thought, give me a different assignment. But I'm working on that. It's only Tuesday. Can't wait to get back there and see the whole team. That's coming up on Sunday. The NFL on CBS, 12 Eastern. Casey Hayward of the LA Chargers, next hour. Again, Will Brinson, next segment. And right now, here is...
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
About to get into some week one action in the NFL and look ahead to week two. I am efforting Will Brinson. Really, where? Nope. He is a CBS Sports senior writer. He is the host of the Pick Six NFL podcast. He is a friend of the program. He is a man who hosted about a billion emergency podcasts last week. He is Will Brinson. Alvin, why don't you bring that up for me? Hey, Will, what's up?
Jim, what's going on, buddy? Hope you're doing well.
Good. I'm doing great, Will. I hope you are, too. It's good to have you back. Let me ask you this. Carson Palmer, Will, was my first guest today. You're now following him. How do you feel about being in that spot in this lineup?
Petrified. Carson Palmer, I met him at the Super Bowl briefly, did an interview with him, and he's hilarious, has great takes, and seems like the most, like, I don't know. He projects this like crazy calm energy, and it makes me more nervous, which I don't need to be any more nervous than I am in general life.
That's great. He is like that. He and his brother, man, they're both so bright. They're so sharp. I'm not at all surprised that they've had the kind of success they have. So I agree with you. Now, listen, he was raving about Dak Prescott and what Prescott did Sunday against the Giants. How much do you think that performance, albeit one game, but how much do you think that performance will impact contract talks?
I think it has a huge impact. I mean, let's not act like – I mean, Jerry Jones is a savvy businessman, but he is also very clearly a bit of a prisoner of the moment when it comes to the Cowboys. He is like a fan. I mean, he treats each game as life or death. You know, he tends to overreact a little bit when the Cowboys look terrible, and he understands that he has a fleeting window with which to win. I also believe he looks at Dak Prescott, Jim, as this diamond in the rough that he plucked out of the draft, and you know, even as much as he loves Tony Romo and as much as he loves Troy Aikman, like, Dak is sort of the modern age guy that he found without the help of a Parcells or a Peyton or obviously a Jimmy Johnson. So to me, Dak is like, he puts Dak on a pedestal. He's always wanted to pay him, but he's also a smart, savvy business guy, and he's going to try and lowball him as much as he can. But when Dak goes out there and starts dropping fire dimes 40 yards down the field and uncorking in this new offense that Kellen Moore's cooked up, and Michael Gallup looks great, and Amari Cooper looks great, and Randall Cobb looks great, and they're throttling the Giants, I can't help but think that Jerry sees that and understands that, you know, it's time to pay Dak Prescott. And if I'm Dak Prescott, I'm not signing a contract this year. I'm going to play out the season in this offense that fits me perfectly. I'm going to make him give me $40 million at the end of this offseason.
Will Brinson joining us. Interesting thought. You mentioned Kellen Moore. You know, it's only one game, but how different does this offense feel with Kellen Moore as the offensive coordinator instead of Scott Linehan?
Yeah, I think the biggest stat that really took me, you know, aback, Jim, was at halftime of that game against the Giants. And look, just like with the Ravens and the Dolphins, we got to caveat it that the Giants stink. Their defense is terrible. But when you look at halftime, Dak Prescott had 26 passing attempts and Zeke Elliott had 26 rushing yards. That's not the approach we've seen from the Cowboys in recent years. Typically, they like to hashtag establish the run and try and be physical up front and to pound Zeke and then let Dak, you know, work off of that. And it oftentimes ends up with him in third and long, difficult situations for any quarterback and certainly a young quarterback. And what we saw from the Cowboys on Sunday was a willingness to throw on early downs and a willingness to use play action without even having established the run. And not to nerd out, but analytics tell us that play action is the most effective play call you could have in football because it, you know, sucks in the defense. It just, you know, changes the options available to you, and it gives you the advantage schematically ahead of the defense. Additionally, throwing on early downs puts you in advantageous opportunities to convert third and short. And the other thing that I thought Kellen Moore had Dak Prescott do was throw deep. Our colleague Jared Dubin at CBS Sports pointed out that in the time under Scott Linehan, Dak Prescott threw deep 9.3% of the time, right? That's not a ton. On Sunday against the Giants in Kellen Moore's first game, he threw deep 18.8% of the time. They were throwing strikes down the field. It's a strength of Dak. You can let him throw deep to these great receivers, Gallup, Cooper, and then have Cobb work the underneath. And then the one other thing I'll add, too, is that touchdown to Jason Witten, the old Cowboys would have run Zeke off tackle to the left three straight times, and then we would have you know, complained on Twitter about Jason Garrett's decision to kick a field goal on fourth and short. Instead, they run play action on first down, leak out Jason Witten, easy touchdown. Very smart game plan from the Cowboys.
Will Brinson, senior NFL writer at CBS Sports, is joining us. All right, so different topic. If you're a Texans fan, Will, what worries you more about last night? How Houston's offensive line played over the course of that game, how their defense played in the final drive, or how Bill O'Brien calls plays?
Yes. I think all three are a big problem, Jim. And I would say that while that prevent defense business from Romeo Crennel is a major red flag, I mean, that you just can't be doing that. And if you look at the games that this team has lost late, even with Deshaun Watson at quarterback, they've come because they play prevent defense. They get conservative. Bill O'Brien loves nothing more than to run a B-list running back for 3 yards into the line of scrimmage over and over again. But by far the biggest concern for me is Deshaun Watson's health. I mean, this is a guy who looks like he could be the best quarterback in football. And that's saying a lot with Patrick Mahomes out there and Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and all these guys. But I mean, Deshaun Watson, when he's on, he is on. And we know he can win at the highest level. We know he can win on the biggest stage. I don't think there are many, many guys in sports. I mean, Dabo might have been right about this when he compared him to Jordan. I don't think there are many guys in sports who are more clutch and cold-blooded than Deshaun Watson, who can go toe-to-toe with the best. We've seen him do it. But he's not going to play 16 games at this pace. He can't take these hits. You can't run him in the red zone. You can't utilize his legs every time you need to be bailed out. And you certainly can't give away 2 first-round draft picks for one offensive lineman and expect that to solve everything. If Deshaun Watson, as he has previously, goes down with a major injury and misses part of the season or a large chunk of the season, the Texans are going to hand over a top 10 pick to the Miami Dolphins, and it's going to set their franchise back even further.
Will Brinson is joining us once again. Will, if you're a Saints fan, at this point, are you pretty much convinced that the refs are looking to jam you at every possible turn?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't understand how... I mean, I understand how we could maybe mess up if we're talking about the referees in the Saints game. Like, even a nuanced subjective call like pass interference or, roughing the passer, et cetera, et cetera. How can you mess up time? I mean, it's the clock. There was one game on TV, and you have Al River on, who knows that he's under fire from the NFL, from fans, from owners, from coaches, because they botched that PI call in the NFC Championship game, and they had to completely overhaul this process for replay and challenges and all of that. And you're going to somehow let the Saints, in their own house, lose 16 seconds at the end of the first half because you can't manage a clock? Who's watching the gate here? I mean, who is in charge in New York that allowed this to happen, where somebody didn't stand up and say, wait a minute, guys, we just cost them 26 seconds. It's unfathomable to me, especially when you talk about a $14 billion business.
We are talking to Will Brinson. All right, Will, let me ask you this. You went all in on the Vikings in the NFC before the start of the season. I'll get to that in a second. But you also went hard for Vic Fangio and the Broncos in the AFC West. How are you feeling about that prediction after last night?
Well, I mean, I didn't feel good about it on Sunday when the Chargers and Phillip Rivers look awesome. You know, look, I betrayed Phillip Rivers, Jim, so that's on me. I mean, this is a clear-cut Judas situation, and I got to own it.
Right.
Look, betting against Patrick Mahomes, maybe not, and Andy Reid, maybe not smart. So I'm petrified. Joe Flacco was under fire from what we thought was a bad Raiders defense, and Bradley Chubb and Von Miller got stonewalled by Trent Brown and company on that Raiders offensive line. Derek Carr, you know, didn't throw deep because he doesn't throw deep, but he completed a bunch of his passes and got praised for it on the telecast. I am going to give a little bit of – I'm going to chalk it up a little bit to, like, the FAB syndrome in Oakland, which we heard from the fans and I think pervaded the locker room there. I believe that they wanted to go out and prove something after Antonio Brown ditched them for New England. So – I think those crazy late Monday games are you don't want to read too much into it. But, yeah, I'm absolutely petrified of my pick, and I would change it in a heartbeat if I could.
Will Brinson joining me once again for a few more moments. All right, so what about Antonio Brown? When you look at what the Patriots have in terms of receiving targets and the way they like to spread the ball around, how do you see AB fitting into all of this? And, Will, more importantly, maybe, how do you see his contract incentives fitting into all this?
Yeah, I think the way that the Patriots structured this is really interesting, Jim. So he gets $5 million up front, and then he's going to get the rest of his signing bonus, the $4 million later. I mean, like, ipso facto, that tells you that Bill Belichick is not willing to fully commit to Antonio Brown being on the team, and he wants to dangle a carrot as best he can. Same thing with the $1.5 million incentives, you know, the yards, the catches, and the touchdowns. They're not likely to be met, but it's certainly reasonable if he's playing really well. And I think I'd be curious to see how he fits in and what they do in Miami, because on one hand, I don't think Bill Belichick wants to go down there and just cream his old defensive coordinator, Brian Flores. He seems to take it kind of easy on his former coaches. On the other hand, you got to go down there and make sure AB's happy with his role in this offense. Is he going to be cool if he's getting 5 or 6 targets, even if he ends up catching a touchdown and has 70 yards a game? I don't know. I mean, that's not something that the AB we have known over the last 5 years would be okay with. Maybe he goes for Randy Moss. Bill Belichick referenced Randy Moss when talking about Antonio Brown today. So maybe he changes his tune, and because New England has that magic voodoo, they work. But I have a hard time fully committing to the notion that Antonio Brown will be a good soldier and be playing for the Patriots happily in week 17. We've just seen too much over the last 6 months for me to buy into that.
Hey, Will, I'm not any kind of full-blown degenerate, but I'm really curious where you come out on this, since you mentioned what Belichick might do to a former assistant coach. Like, that line, I think, kind of popped at like 15.5 when it dropped, and then it moved quickly to 18 or 18.5. Do you think that Belichick would call off the dogs before it got to that point, or is he going to get up there 3 or 4 touchdowns before he calls off the dogs?
It's at 18.5 now, and there's some people who think it could get to 21. As high as 21, Jim, which is, you can't lay 21 points. If you are a degenerate listening to this and you see 21, you're getting the worst of the number. Just walk away from it. I think the play actually here is to take the under, and this ties in with what the Patriots will do, in my opinion. The Patriots, since 2008, 10-0 to the under when they're double-digit favorites on the road. That's pretty incredible. What it tells you is that Bill Belichick has a plan in place when he goes on the road against a clearly inferior team. It's to throw early, get a lead, and then just suffocate with defense and run the heck out of the football, shorten the game, get out of Dodge with a W, and don't make a big deal out of it. And I really think we're going to see that from the Patriots this week. I don't see how Ryan Fitzpatrick and that Dolphins offense, like Devontae Parker and Mike Gesicki, Kenyon Drake, are going to score points against a secondary that we saw is as good as it is in what they did with the Steelers on Sunday night. I like the under here. I would just – it's just a walk away from that Patriots line.
So how many points would you lay?
I would lay 15 for sure. I mean, 15 to 17 I think would be fine. 18.5 is just getting out of control.
I got you. CBS Sports senior writer, also host of the Pick 6 NFL podcast, good friend of the program. And as I mentioned, he hosted about a billion emergency podcasts last week, stepping up when he had to. Will Brinson, my guest. Good job, Will. Thank you so much.
Always fun, Jim. Have a great day, man.
Great job, Will. Really well done. All right, so I knew that he'd have a take on that. He said 21.5. Are you kidding me? I'm kind of curious, clones. I know a lot of you were waiting on Sunday night for that game to end to see what that number was going to be, and you wanted to get down. What did you get for that game? Your flight deck. What did you end up getting for that game? Flight deck is a degenerate. 1-800-636-8686. Will Brinson said, don't lay the points. Take the under. I like that bet, too. I like the under. All right, still ahead in hour number 3. Got a conversation coming up with Casey Hayward of the LA Chargers. Also in hour number 3, I want to talk about Bobby Petrino. Bobby Petrino getting some jungle run, getting some national run, making his triumphant return to Arkansas, and not a second too soon. They could not have been more hyped to see him. Not only did he get an ovation, he got a standing ovation. Last we checked, he was laying his hog down, leaving half his face on the pavement, and getting fired. And yet the guy comes back a conquering hero. Man, must be nice. That third hour is coming up. How about a good phone call? How about a second golden ticket? How about my thoughts on the Astros? We're tearing it up. 2 hours down. Third hour is going to be a good one. It is straight ahead. Do not go anywhere.